So this morning we heard Act 3, where Srimati Radharani jumped into the Jamuna and left this world and entered into the sun planet. Now we're going to hear about Krishna in Mathura. So in Act 4, Uddhava enters first, and he's reflecting on how Krishna is all-powerful, and yet he allows himself to come under the control of his devotees. And then he notes that even though his nature is eternal transcendental bliss, he still becomes filled with anguish. So this is very mysterious. Then Gargi arrives. She and Uddhava speak together, and Uddhava tells her how Krishna killed Kamsa, and she is very glad to hear this. He tells her that now Sandipani Muni is Krishna's guru, and also how, after being taught by Sandipani Muni, Krishna brought Madhu Mangal, Sandipani Muni's son, out from the depths of the ocean, and now Madhu Mangal has become Krishna's Keli Guru, or he stays with him as his friend. Then Uddhava tells how he himself recently visited Gokul. He was sent there to get Chandravali, the music a little... He was sent there to get Chandravali and bring her. But then he found out that Chandravali had already been taken away from Vrindavan by Rukmi, who had discovered her whereabouts. And now Chandravali was no longer in Vrindavan, but she was in Kundina with Maharaj Bhishmaka. Then Uddhava told Gargi how all the girls had been taken out of Vrindavan and there are no gopis living in Vrindavan anymore. He explains that the 16,100 gopis who were praying to Katyayani Devi that please we want Krishna as our husband have become kidnapped. But mainly Krishna is overwhelmed by Radha's terrible suffering. And so Purnamasi has created a play to soothe his heart and to create a diversion. A play that Purnamasi has learned from Narada and has taught to some Gandharvas. So just at this moment, Krishna and Balaram are just ascending to the balcony in the Palace of Rubies to watch the play. So that is the end of scene one. And the beginning of scene two is the play. Krishna is lamenting, speaking with Madhu Mangal. He is lamenting over and over since he has heard that Radha has drowned. He says that the words of the voice from the sun planet, which we heard, where the sun god assured Mukara that she should not commit suicide because in future she would enjoy a festival of happiness at such a very sad moment. So these words, Krishna says, are keeping a single blade of grass of hope alive in him to see her again. Then he laments very, very deeply for not having taken her with him. Now the actors enter. And when the actors enter to perform the play, also Uddhava comes in, and Purnamasi, and Mukara, Srimati Radharani's grandmother. So the Shrutadhar, as we heard in the first act, the Shrutadhar is the person who comes forward, and they're the stage manager. They present the theme of the play. So the Shrutadhar, he steps forward, and he glorifies Srimati Radharani's glance. And he explains that this wonderful, beautiful play that is about to be performed for Krishna's pleasure in Mathura is called The Meeting with Radha. The meaning of the play is like this. Even though elderly Jyotila continually tries to stop them, Krishna eternally pleases Radha with transcendental pastimes. So then Krishna, now we will call him Madhava. Madhava is Krishna in the play. Madhava enters onto the stage and he expresses a great desire to meet Radha. And Krishna is amazed seeing the beauty of this personality who is playing the part of himself. Madhumangal laughs and Krishna says, "When I see this display of acting, in my heart I become greatly excited and I long for such pastimes and I desire a form exactly like that of the damsels of Raja." How can this actor enchant me? And he understands this is due to Narada Muni's devotion because he has prepared this play. Then Krishna asks, "Am I the actor or am I the person who is watching? This is a great wonder for me." Then the actor, Madhava, he begins to lament very deeply for separation from Radha. And he decides to play his flute. So he plays his beautiful flute. And Radha and Lalita enter onto the stage looking for Krishna. Now here, Uddhava has to stop Krishna from rushing forward to meet Radha. He has to convince Krishna that actually this is an actress. And Krishna becomes very embarrassed. Then Mukhara also jumps up and runs forward to the stage, crying out, "Oh, you are still alive! You are still alive!" And Purnamasi has to hold her cloth and pull her back. Then Radha asks Lalita in the play if Mukhara has seen them, because they're going to meet Krishna. And Lalita says, "Both Mukhara and Jyotila have seen us." So Mukhara, who's watching the play, starts crying and she apologizes so many times. She says, as she's watching the play, "I made you suffer so much. I'm so sorry." And Madhumangal, who's very playful, he says, "Don't put on this false show of love. Whenever you saw me, you would bark at me like a dog." And Mukhara says, "I'm so sorry, I'm very sorry, I did not understand. It was Purnamasi's fault. It was Yogamaya." Then, in the play, Radha and Lalita decide to run very quickly to the Jamuna to fool elderly Jyotila. But Jyotila is coming along the path, looking very carefully at the ground, and she sees Radha's footprints, and so she follows them. And as she comes to the side of the Jamuna River, she sees the swans moving here and there, and she's very clever. She understands that the swans are very active because they have heard the sound of the tinkling of ankle bells. Then Madhava and Vrinda arrive in the play, and Madhava wants to meet Radha. As Krishna is watching this play, he feels a great desire also to meet Radha. He says, "By this performance, I am able to enter into my very rare Gokul pastimes." Then Radha and Madhava meet. And Lalita encourages them. But just as they are speaking to each other, who should enter but elderly Jyotila? And she is very angry. And she solidly chastises the two girls, especially Lalita, because Lalita has brought Radha here. And she calls Madhava all kinds of ill names because he's standing there also. And he calls her all kinds of ill names. He calls her Fat Lips. He says, oh, Fat Lips. Fat Lips, yes. He says, you're the witch of Braj. And he speaks very harsh words to Jyotila. And Jyotila continues to criticize him, saying the hottest of critical words to him. And Krishna smiles. Now he's watching the play. And he turns to Madan Mangal and he says, do you know, I enjoy the harsh words of the old ladies of Braj much more than the perfect Vedic prayers of great sages. Then Jyotila continues to criticize him in the play. And then she takes both the girls by the arm and she marches out. Then Vrinda, in the play, tells Madhava she has a plan. She says she will need one parrot. And Vishaka will help. And Vishaka will tell him what he should do. So Madhava is very sad. And he walks away because now Lalita and Radha are gone. And as he's walking down the path, he sees Abhimanyu, the son of Jyotila. And he decides to hide in the bushes and listen. So he's hiding in the bushes and Jyotila comes along and she sees her son. And she tells Abhimanyu that she heard a parrot. And the parrot told her that Krishna was going to come in the disguise of Abhimanyu. So she says, she thinks, and then when she sees Abhimanyu, her son, she thinks about it and she thinks that actually Abhimanyu, her son, may be actually Krishna. So she starts pulling at him and chastising him. Then she starts even hitting him and calling him all kinds of bad names and saying, I know who you are, why are you coming here, why are you disturbing us? And so many things. And poor Abhimanyu becomes extremely embarrassed by his mother's behavior. And then she starts to chase him. And he doesn't know what to do. He thinks, my mother has become haunted. And all the ladies come to watch this because this is very astonishing. And she starts pulling at his clothes and grabbing him. And he's very embarrassed. And then she says, I'm leaving here. And don't you ever come to my house again, and I'm going to find my son. And she marches out, and all the other ladies who are present realize that this is her son, and they all start to laugh. Then Kundalata, who happens to be watching as well, assures Abhimanyu that his wife is so chaste, and this is all just the imagination of his mother, and she is a little disturbed. And Kundalata, as she tells him that I will go and find Purnamasi and tell her about this very disturbing situation. So Abhimanyu says, bring my mother. I will ask her permission to leave. But Jyotila is far too embarrassed to come out of the house, so she won't come out. So then Abhimanyu says, I have some things I have to do. And he leaves anyway. So Krishna is watching this play and he is feeling very, very happy. Then Vrinda enters and says that Abhimanyu has returned. But this time it is not Abhimanyu, it is Madhava. And Jyotila is very happy to see her son this time. She comes, she's a little embarrassed, and she's very happy to see him. And then she says, you should now go and do whatever you want, you take some time together. And then Krishna, dressed as Abhimanyu, says, Mother, I would like to do some puja tonight. I would like to go out to the forest and go to the temple. And there I would like your permission to do some puja this evening. And Jyotila says, yes, 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 whatever you want. You please go together immediately to the forest. So Krishna is watching this play. And he says, I am burning with suffering. And I cannot find any peace. Because even though this play is meant to distract him from his suffering. Seeing these beautiful pastimes of his in Vrindavan, he is feeling all the more suffering. Then he says, "What can I do?" He asks Purnamasi's permission to now leave the palace and return to his rooms. And as he's leaving to return to his room, Purnamasi is thinking to herself and she says, "Now I have performed the first part of my plan. It is complete. And the second part, which involves Chandravali, will follow now." And then she thinks and she says out loud, "On the pretext of visiting my son, Sandipani Muni, I will now instead travel to the city of Kundina." Now Kundina is the kingdom of Maharaj Bhishmaka, and that is where Chandravali is now living. So when Purnamasi leaves the stage at the end of this act, she is off to Kundina to find out what is the situation there with Chandravali. So this is the first act that we will hear tonight. So this is Act 5 of Lalita Madhava, Scene 1. So Purnamasi enters onto the stage. She is in Kundina, which is the city where Chandravali resides. She is walking backwards and forwards, looking very worried. She is noticing how many kings who are the enemies of Krishna have now come and planted their tents all around the city. Just as she is thinking about the situation, she hears Narada Muni. Now Narada Muni is the guru of Purnamasi, and Purnamasi, as we know, is Yogamaya. So she is very mysterious. And Narada is also very mysterious. So Narada enters, chanting Vedic verses, holding a veena with his matted hair down to his shoulders, his complexion like an autumn moon. This is Devarshi Narada. So Purnamasi immediately offers her prostrated obeisances to him. And Narada tells her that Krishna has just left Mathura. And now he lives in Dwarka. Purnamasi begins to express her concerns. She tells Narada that there are so many enemies now have come and they're all surrounding Chandravali. Narada replies, he says, "Your friends are not small people. So why should you fear these enemies?" Purnamasi says, "Krishna has abandoned her. Her sister died. And now she is called Rukmini." So then Narada begins to reflect very soberly. He thinks to himself and he says to himself, "These girls of Dwarka and the girls of Braj are the same, although they're in different forms." He understands that Yogamaya, in order to please the gopis of Vrindavan, has transformed them into the women of Dwarka. And now they think of their previous life like a long dream. And when they think of when Uddhava arrived in Vrindavan, so Narada is thinking and he reflects that Yogamaya, to please these gopis, has transformed them into the women of Dwarka. And now they think their previous existence in Vrindavan is something like a long dream. And they think that their meeting with Krishna at Kurukshetra And the time that Uddhava came and brought them a message are just stories. Then Narada thinks and he says, why should I reveal this secret right now? So he keeps it to himself. Then he asks Purnamasi some more questions. He asks, so he says, well, so what does the king, King Bhishmaka, what does he want for Chandravali? Purnamasi says, the king wants to give his daughter to Krishna, but his son wants to please Sisupal, who's his friend, and he's afraid that Krishna may come here, so he has brought many of his friends to protect the city. So on my advice, says Purnamasi, I advised Chandravali to send a messenger begging Krishna to please chase away these enemies and save me. But the difficulty is that the messenger has not returned. Then Purnamasi tells Narada how Rukmi has gone to the family deity Chandrabhagha, and he has prayed very, very sincerely to her and offered many, many offerings to her, and she has reciprocated with him by promising to satisfy his desire. So Purnamasi again is very worried. But Narada says, the deity is only cheating him. Then all of a sudden the Brahman arrives and tells Purnamasi and Narada that Krishna is nearby. But he is not looking very happy. And Purnamasi says, so you are bringing good news? He says, no, I am not bringing any good news. When he's asked why does not have good news, he says, because when I read the letter from Rukmini to Krishna, Krishna expressed no interest whatsoever in her. He said to reply to her like this, the black cloud of Krishna brings happiness to the Sikini birds who gaze at him with dark eyes in the Vrindavan forest. He shows no interest in this princess. Then Purnamasi realizes that Krishna does not understand that this girl, Rukmini, is actually Chandravali. And the Brahman, she asks the Brahman, why didn't you tell him? And the Brahman said, I didn't know that she was Chandravali. And then Purnamasi realizes that Rukmi has kept this very confidential secret that his sister was ever in Vrindavan. So then she asks, because he has said that Krishna has already arrived, then why is Krishna here? If he's not coming to kidnap Rukmini, why has he come? And the Brahman says that there are two kings from Dwarka called Krata and Kaishika. And these two kings invited Krishna because Lord Brahma asked these two kings to crown Krishna the emperor of the whole world. So then Purnamasi gets excited and says, oh, I will look forward to seeing this ceremony. And then the Brahman says, it has already been performed. This was done in order to answer Mount Vindhya's prayer. Remember Mount Vindhya had the two daughters, Radha and Chandravali? And he wanted that Krishna would become his son-in-law, or he wanted that his son-in-law would be greater than the son-in-law of the Himalaya mountains, which is Lord Shiva. So this arrangement has been performed by Lord Brahma. Then Purnamasi is about to go. She says, I will tell Krishna that this is Chandravali. So she's about to leave when a messenger enters onto the stage and says that the king, Maharaj Bhishmaka, has just requested these two kings, Krata and Kaishika, to please beg Krishna to kidnap his daughter. So Purnamasi becomes very happy. And she exits with Narada's permission. And just as these two kings are about to enter onto the stage with Krishna, Narada decides to ascend into the sky and watch this pastime from there. And he exits. So Krishna enters. And the kings are offering him prayers and all respect. And Krishna is offering them a benediction in exchange. So then they request him. They say to him, "My dear Lord, although we have heard from Garuda that Rukmini has not performed any austerity suitable to please you, please take her and marry her." So Krishna replies to them, saying, "I will fulfill her desire." And then they all exit. Then Garuda, whose name is also Suparna, and Krishna are left looking at the great many kings who have come to Kundina city. And Krishna hears a poet who is reciting beautiful poems glorifying his pastimes in Vrindavan. And when he hears these pastimes, he remembers Radha and he begins to become faint. Just then, hearing that Rukmini is nearby, he decides that they should decorate themselves as dancers and go inside in disguise. So they go to get dressed up as dancers. And Chandravali enters. She knows that her brother has begun a sacrifice of 10 million offerings of ghee to please the goddess Chandrabhaga. She also knows that there is a deep lake, a kund of hot ghee, and she wants to see it. Feeling helpless and not seeing Krishna anywhere, she enters into the temple and she begins to pray to the deity. She prays, "Since my childhood, I have worshipped you with devotion to obtain Krishna. Please give me the result of my worship. Direct me on the path that leads to Krishna." Her friend Madhavi notices that the demigoddess who they're praying to smiles. Then Chandravali decides to go and circumambulate the kund of ghee and the sacrificial fire. Meanwhile, Krishna enters in disguise. And he's observing everything that's taking place. He sees Rukmini. And he sees how beautiful she is. And meanwhile, Rukmini or Chandravali is becoming quite desperate. And she asks Madhavi, her friend, to take care of a little bakul tree that she has planted from a seed that she brought with her from Vrindavan. So Madhavi knows this is very painful. She understands that Chandravali is thinking of ending her life. So she tries to get her to calm down. But she's crying and she says, "I was never really able to understand you, Krishna, but still you accepted me in Vrindavan. But why have you now given up my company and gone to another country? Why have you now forgotten me?" Garuda is looking on and he says to Krishna, "She is so beautiful. Just see, she's more beautiful than Lakshmi or any other woman. She's so beautiful. Chandravali is so beautiful." And when Krishna hears the name Chandravali, because he's bewildered, he thinks of Chandravali and he says, "Yes, Chandravali, when I go back to Dwarka, I should send some messengers to search for Chandravali." Then he looks very closely at this girl and he realizes that actually it is his beloved Chandravali. Then he becomes very excited and he enters further into the temple. And Madhavi notices this dancing actor who's very friendly, who's coming closer and closer, and very handsome. And while Chandravali is preparing herself to jump into the fire, he reaches forward and he catches her. Madhavi is very angry, but Krishna begs Chandravali not to jump into the fire. Chandravali can't recognize Krishna and she's turning this way and that and trying to get out of his grip. She takes a ring from her finger and she places it on his finger and says, "Give this to Krishna." She places the ring on his finger, and then, as she does that, she recognizes him and she faints. Meanwhile, her father and Purnamasi arrive on the scene, and Purnamasi very gently picks up Chandravali in her arms, and the king very formally offers his daughter to Krishna. For a moment, Krishna thinks about accepting her. But then he thinks that actually, if I accept her without Radha, it is not actually offensive. And so then he agrees to accept her. Now the king makes one very sober request. As he's offering his daughter to Krishna, he asks Krishna to make a promise. He says to Krishna, please accept my daughter, but please agree that without my daughter's permission, you will not accept the hand of any other girl. Krishna looks at Purnamasi when he hears this. And Purnamasi looks back at him and says, since all the gopis of Gokul have all died, and only Chandravali is still alive, there is no problem to make this promise. So Krishna agrees. And with the permission of her father, he and Chandravali leave for Dwarka. Bhishmaka watches that there's a great battle that takes place. Balaram arrives and the kings fight with Krishna and Balaram. And then he watches also that Krishna humiliates his son Rukmi. And then the scene ends with Maharaj Bhishmaka saying, now I will go and console my son so that he will not die of shame. So Maharaj Bhishmaka leaves the scene. So this concludes Act 5 of Lalita Madhava. So tomorrow morning, Radha Govinda willing, we will hear the next two acts of this drama by Srila Rupa Goswami. So thank you very much.